This morning we have the opportunity to hear from Tom and Candace Mast, who left us 3 years ago and headed off to Thailand. And I was thinking, the first song we sang, it says, "Where you lead us, God, we will go." And I was thinking of them. We're all led in different directions, aren't we? And God led them to Thailand. They've been faithful in serving there. And so this morning, we're going to get a chance to hear from them. And so, Tom and Candace, we'll turn it over to you at this time.
Hey, good morning. It's a real privilege to be here with you. And we've just been overwhelmed in the past 3 weeks that we've been in Ohio at the generosity from this church and at the chance we've had to fellowship with many of you. It's gone by much too quickly. And we've been very sorry that we haven't been able to spend more time with a lot of you. But the food that you provided, the meals that many of you have shared with us, it's been just really, really good for us to come back here and to feel like we fit back into a body. And over the past 3 years and into this time that we've had more recently, you guys have just been a very real expression of God's body and the love of God to us and our family. And so we've tried to think through this program with you guys in mind. We've already done it in another church, but as we prepared, at least I was thinking of LCF and of people here. And so we want to try to give you some idea of what our life in Thailand is like, share with you some of what we've seen God doing, and share a little bit about what we're learning about God through this experience. So that's a pretty tall order for 20 minutes or half an hour, whatever we've got here, but we'll see what we can do. And again, we're just really grateful to be back here with you. Start out with Candace is going to share something about our life in Thailand, hopefully give you an idea of what that's like. And then I'll share a little more about our experience with church and the culture there and just some of what we've learned about God.
Makes me feel emotional right away, so hopefully I can get through without crying. But I love you guys, and we're just really thankful for the support you've been to us while we've been gone. It's meant a lot to us. To start, we'd like to give you a quick tour of what our life looks like in Thailand. Some of you have been there and experienced it a little bit. But we live in a neighborhood called Mubon Tipuan, and it's in the suburbs of Bangkok. Just a little video of our street. This is the street coming into our neighborhood. As you can see, there's a lot of traffic, and these are some of the places that we buy food. There's a lot of small vendors that are making food. We really like our neighborhood because the people are really friendly, and everything's really close to our house. There are hairdressers and food shops and fruit stands, pharmacies, the kids' school. So it's all really close, and we have our favorite places to shop, and know a lot of people now. This is our house. We have a lot of fruit trees. You can see it's kind of overgrown, bushy out there. But it's mainly mango and banana trees. We have a rabbit and a bird. And it's a Thai-style house. It's one big open floor downstairs, which is really nice for our big team meetings and church meetings. The people on our street are mainly middle-class professionals, so they're really busy and work long hours. But the ones we know are really friendly. This is Kunyai. She's an older lady that lives on our street, and she likes to come and take the girls for walks, and she has a pet parrot that comes to visit us, which is fun. Other neighbors drop by, bring us food, just come talk, and they're really, really friendly to us. The girls like to ride bike on our street a lot. This is right in front of our house. At home, we mainly eat Thai food that we buy in our neighborhood. This is a video of one of the vendors making kale and crispy pork. We find that buying prepared food off the street is a lot cheaper than buying groceries, and we love Thai food. So many homes and apartments don't even have kitchens because people buy their food like this from the street. This is our family's favorite meal. It's sticky rice and grilled chicken and a papaya salad. It's really good. We don't have a car, so we mostly get around like most people do on public transportation, buses, taxis, motorcycles. The SkyTrain. We do have a motorcycle that Tom uses to get around our neighborhood, and he takes the girls to school on that. Traffic is really super bad in Bangkok. You've probably heard about it. So we kind of arrange our life around avoiding traffic at all costs. It's pretty bad. Claire goes to a Thai school. It's called Anaban Butsi Yamat. It's only a 5-minute walk from our house. Got some pictures of her at school. This is some of her current classmates. At a dance performance with her other friends. Tom also teaches there. 160 kindergartners one day a week. And the classes are all in Thai, so that's a way that Claire has learned a lot of Thai language. Here she is with her teachers. And Claire and Eliza, if they're not feeling too shy, they're going to come share one of their favorite parts of the school day with you. At the beginning of the day, they always sing the Thai national anthem. They line up in the courtyard outside, and while the flag is raised, they sing this song.
Thai Bulamuna Cha Cha Thai Bemba Cha La The Thai Thuk Thai Thuk Suan Yu Dong Long Dong Wai Lai Thong Nuang Lui Thai Lui Dai Mai Lak Samang Chi Dai Li Lak Samop Dae Thong Lok Mai Kla Eka Lak Jat Mai Hai Klai Khong Chi
Good job, girls. That last word, chayo, means like hooray, so you have to say it loud like that. Chayo. Claire and Eliza brought a little gift for you kids from Thailand. So if the kids maybe like 10 or 11 and younger want to come up and get a toy and a little activity sheet to work on. And then I think the smaller kids can go to toddler time if they would like to. Claire and Eliza are also homeschooled a few days a week. So at home we work on English subjects, and at school they learn they're learning to write this script, learning to read and write. For Tom and I, our job has about three different parts. The first part is English teaching. Both of us really enjoy teaching English, and we've had the privilege of teaching in a big variety of settings. We do a lot of individual tutoring in our home, and also Tom has taught in a factory and a hospital. And we've had children from Claire's school come to our home. So for us, English teaching gives us an identity with our friends, so they know us as teachers and not as missionaries. And it's a way to meet people and make relationships, as well as providing for some of our support. These are some of our students. We see teaching as an important part of our ministry. It's meeting a need in Thailand, and it lets us live out our faith in a natural way. The second part of what we do is working with a small group of Thai believers and seekers. We meet in small groups in homes like this. And Tom is going to be talking a lot more about the church later. But the third part is our work with the RMM team. We serve as team leaders. It's really encouraging to share our experiences with a larger group. And just learning together. Our teammates have been like aunts and uncles for our kids, too, so we really love and appreciate them a lot. Over the 3 years, we've had 11 interns and two REACH teams come and go. It's been really exciting to have Latin American teammates, too, from Nicaragua and Costa Rica and Ecuador. Sometimes, like back in 2008, this was our team in 2008, and we had a big team, and this is our team now, so it's shrunk a little bit. But Dan Beiler is our regional director, and Colleen Most is another long-term worker who came in February, and ourselves. So you can pray for workers. We feel a little more limited now in the number of people that we can meet and connect with. And so, yeah, pray for more workers to come. But we're happy that we have another REACH team coming too. We just met them, and they're coming in December, so we're glad for that. So that's a quick overview of our life in Thailand. one verse that has come back to my mind over and over during this time was, "For we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." You know us. You know that we're nothing special. We went to Thailand with, with our struggles. And we have had struggles. We've, dealing with the heat and the language learning and just all the cultural things that we've needed to learn. So we feel like clay pots a lot of times, very imperfect. But God is the light inside us. We have this treasure inside us that we can offer people. And that's why we're there. And Thais are his precious people that he loves so much. We often pray before we meet people, before we go out in the city, that just the Holy Spirit will touch people. We go into a lot of places where the Holy Spirit is not normally present. And we just pray that people can sense that and that he can touch people through us, even in our imperfection. And the other cool thing is God can get all the glory for it because we know we're imperfect and we're clay and it's all him. So it's been really exciting to see him work in our friends' lives. We're really thankful for what God has done in the past few years. I was telling our MST, our mission support team, last night that I was so overwhelmed when we first arrived in Thailand. The city just looked really huge and scary, really overwhelming. We didn't know anyone and had all the language to learn. But I was really burdened by all the lost people. It's less than 1% of people are Christians, and so overwhelmed by the need. But I'm really thankful for what we've seen, just on a small scale. It's so encouraging to see him at work, and the way that we feel now that Thailand is home for us, and our kids feel that Thailand is home. So we thank God for that. One thing that has really bonded our family is learning about Thai culture. We've had a lot of amazing experiences together. Elephants even come to our house sometimes. That's pretty cool. This is at our gate, and the girls got to feed the elephant, so that's fun. We've eaten a lot of new and strange things. This isn't something we eat every day or anything, but we've tried worms and bugs and chicken feet. The festivals have been a really fun thing to learn about. This is Loy Krathong Festival. This is the Thai New Year, which is in April, and it's like a big citywide water fight, so that's a lot of fun. It's the hottest part of the year, too, so it feels good. We've also had some trips out into the countryside to learn about Isan culture, so that's been really interesting. Eliza loved the bugs out there. She liked to eat them. And having Silas in Thailand was a really good experience for us. We've met many new friends through him. People are really attracted to him and want to meet him. This is on a train. So that's been a really, really good and joyful experience for our family, too. So we're really grateful. Feels really good to be back here this morning, and we just feel really blessed by the life he's given us in Thailand. And we feel like you have been a huge support to us, just in your prayers and your emails. The things you sent to our children, like Christmas this last year, was amazing. And we're just really grateful for the ways you look out for us and pray for us while we're there. Tom is going to come share more about our vision for the church.
Thailand, of course, is a Buddhist country. It has about 65 million people in the country. Bangkok has anywhere from, 8 to 11 million people, say. And we're just on the outskirts of that. And of that population, 95% of the people identify themselves as Buddhist. There's about 4.5% that are Muslim. And so that leaves roughly 0.5%. It varies, but 0.5% of the people maybe are Christian. Most of the Thais who are Buddhists could be classified as nominal Buddhists, much in the same way that many Americans are nominal Christians. They're nominal Buddhists or folk Buddhists. And so they're not necessarily heavily involved in worship activities or studying Buddhism, but that's part of their identity and who they are. Buddhism is deeply ingrained in the Thai culture, much more than Christianity would be in American culture. A common saying is that to be Thai is to be Buddhist, and that's just the general expectation that if you're Thai, then you're Buddhist. And Buddhism plays an important role in the lives of all Thai people. Major life events like birth and marriage, death, graduation from school, all of those have really strong Buddhist ceremonies associated with them. And all of the holidays in Thailand are either explicitly Buddhist or they have strong Buddhist components. So Buddhism is just deeply, deeply ingrained in the lives of all Thai people. And we see this a lot at Claire's school. Every morning after they sing the Thai national anthem, then the kids do some Buddhist chanting. And so it's been a real challenge for us. We have monks come and visit the school sometimes to teach. Every year there's a teacher appreciation day that has a strong Buddhist component. And so that's been an ongoing struggle for our family to know, how do we relate to this? How much of this do we expose our kids to, and what's our response to it all? And I don't know that we've always done a good job of that, but something that we continue to deal with, and you can pray for us about. Claire's done a great job of fitting in there, and just been amazed at the questions that she asks and the perception that she has of what's going on. And being in that environment and seeing everything that she's seen, her view of God is so much broader than mine was at her age, growing up in a Christian home in a very insulated Christian environment. So it's been, on one hand, been a real struggle for our family at times, and we've felt conflicted, but it's also been just a great opportunity for our kids, even as young as they are. Claire, yeah, she's just done a great job. While the other kids fold their hands and chant, she folds her hands respectfully and prays to God, and often prays for us, and she'll come home and tell us, oh, I prayed for you today because I knew you were going to be doing this or that. And I think she's handling that really well. In practice in Thailand, there's also a lot of animism that's just mixed in and integrated with the Buddhism, and this is basically a belief in spirits, a belief that a particular place has a particular spirit associated with it. And so we see these houses all over the place. It's very similar to what you see at this Buddhist place on 29, but these are everywhere in Thailand, and people leave offerings of food and drink and flowers, as you can see. So lots of houses have these. Our neighbors have one just on the other side of our fence, and so they light incense in the evening, and we can smell that. But yeah, people have a strong belief in spirits and in ghosts, and they do a lot of things, a lot of rituals that are designed just to stay on the good side of these spirits and ghosts and make sure that nothing bad is going to happen to them because they somehow offend the spirit or the ghost that's associated with a certain place. I think it could identify a core belief of most Thai people. And we've been there for 3 years. We've learned a lot, but still feel like we don't know nearly all there is to know. And so it's really hard to summarize it in a way that you guys are going to be able to make sense of. But I think the core belief of most Thai people is this: Tam di dai di, tam chua dai chua. And that basically means if you do good, you'll receive good. If you do evil, you'll receive evil. It's a law of karma, a law of cause and effect. And so that's the main goal for most Thai people, is to do enough good things that it'll get them ahead in that good-bad department. And one of the main ways that they do good is by making merit. You saw a lot of pictures of that. People doing symbolic actions that show their respect for Buddhism, that show their attempt to be good people. And by lighting the candles or offering the incense to the Buddha image, feeding the monks, whatever it is, they're earning good credit, building up good karma that will either provide good results for them in this current life or in a future life. And of course, as Christians, we believe there is some truth to this. In Galatians, Paul wrote, a man reaps what he sows, and a Buddhist person could read that verse and agree very strongly with that. But of course, we don't think that's all there is to it. Many verses that talk about God's mercy and his grace, and I especially like this one in Psalm 103, God does not treat us as our sins deserve. I think this verse captures the essence of what we hope many people in Thailand will come to experience and to know in a personal way, that there is a personal God, a being who created them, created the world, and he's merciful and loving, and this law of karma, of cause and effect, is not the final law of the universe. There's a way out of that. You don't have to try to do enough good on your own to make up for the bad things that you do. In Thailand, Christians are generally accepted, maybe even admired as good people. But the overwhelming perception is that Jesus, that Christianity, is the religion of foreigners. And it's fine for Americans, it's fine for Europeans, it's fine for white people, but it's not for Thai people. It has no relevance to the lives of people in Thailand. That would be the assumption. Thai people say that all religions are good if they teach you to do good things. So as long as it helps you do good and build up good karma, then it's fine. And so nobody is trying to convert us to Buddhism. They don't expect us to become Buddhist. We don't need to be Buddhist to be good people, but they think that they do. I mean, that Buddhism is so much a part of the culture and what it means to be a Thai person. In one hand, Thailand is very open. We can go openly as Christians. We could go and get missionary visas. We've chosen not to do that just because of all the associations. But on one hand, they're very open to Christianity, even to the gospel. But there's also a very strong kind of underlying tension in opposition to that. And almost any Thai person who would begin to express interest in God, who would begin to seek after God and pursue that, would face some very strong pressure from within their family to pull back and to stop, because they'd be seen as leaving Thai culture, as abandoning their birthright, as it were, by joining this foreign religion. So because of this, because of all these realities that we've been talking about, our team in Thailand, we've adopted a different approach from what's been primarily tried in the past in Thailand. Missionaries, Protestant missionaries, worked in Thailand for at least 150 years. As we said, there's still just 0.5% of the population that's Christian. And so we've decided that instead of trying to start a traditional American-style church, as so many other people have done, you could go to Thailand and go into a church that would be very familiar looking to you. We're taking a different approach. We're going to start very simply, and we as foreigners are going to try to keep a very low profile. We don't have a church building. We meet in homes, we meet in parks, we meet in coffee shops, and we're sort of our overriding principle in our strategy is we want everything that we do to be reproducible. We don't want to start something or to do something that the Thai people who are coming to faith couldn't replicate themselves. So we're recognizing that we're not the experts. Now, at this point, we're the ones who have the most experience in a relationship with God. And so on one hand, you can say we are the experts on Christianity, but we are not the experts on what it means for a Thai person to be a Christian and how that will look. We don't want them to copy us and our forms of worship and what works for us in a relationship with God. We want them to find a Thai way of doing that. And so we believe that with the Holy Spirit's help, these new Thai believers will be able to develop that, and they will turn into the leaders, and they'll decide on the direction and the forms of the church, not us. So what do we do? As Candace said, we try to, you know, we're living our life there. We try to represent Jesus in our day-to-day lives. And a key part of that has just been being open to the people that God's already prepared. I think I knew this before, but I'm more convinced of it than ever now, that all around the world, including among your circle of friends and acquaintances, there are people that God's working on, and we may not ever see it from the surface and might be very surprised when we find out about it. But God is preparing people, and it's not our job to, you know, we can't do all of that work. It's God's work, and we're finding that in Thailand. We'll run into people occasionally, and they'll just have this unusual interest in the Bible or in God, and it's been a long process in their lives, and we had nothing to do with the beginning of that, but we're just fortunate enough to be there and to be a part of what God's doing in their lives. So it's God's work, God's preparation of people. We found that our family relationships are very important. Realize that the way that we relate is husband and wife and as parents is something that Thai people notice. An American family is unusual in Thailand. There's plenty of foreigners, but they're mostly single men. And so we kind of stand out and people watch us. And it's a good opportunity to demonstrate, you know, godly values in our relationships. But of course, that's also rather frightening to think that people are watching us and forming opinions based on what we do. So this church approach, we recognize, is going to take a long time. And we could probably see faster results in the short term if we went in with a lot of money and a lot of people and we built a nice church building and all of that. But we want to give the Holy Spirit and the Thai believers time to develop something that will be thoroughly Christian, thoroughly godly, and thoroughly Thai. And at this point, most people in Thailand can't imagine that you can be 100% Thai and also 100% devoted to following Jesus. I want to introduce you to a couple of people that have been very important in our lives in Thailand. This is our landlord, Lung Sadie, Uncle Sadie is what we call him. He's become a very good friend to us, has helped us in many, many ways, and really considers us, thinks of us as part of his family now, I think, talks about that anyway. And he's really big buddies with Silas. Silas just loves him, and he's crazy about Silas. But after we'd been in Thailand for a couple of years, relating to him on a regular basis as our landlord, all of a sudden, one time, he expressed some interest in studying the Bible, and we were amazed. He had come to some of our meetings before, but we had no idea that there was any sort of spiritual searching going on within him, that he had any interest at all in Jesus and in the Bible. At that time, he was facing some pretty difficult eye problems, and it's ongoing today. He can't see clearly out of one eye, and it's really troubled him, and he's done a lot of things to try to fix that. And so he was feeling this need in his life, and so he began studying the Bible with us and with another Christian lady in our neighborhood. And she did a really good job of encouraging him, try praying and see what happens. And one night he was at our house and he shared about some financial problems they were having. Money was a little tight because they had another house that was for rent, but they didn't have any renters. And so we said, well, let's pray about that. And so we prayed, and later he told me the very next morning while he was still in bed, the phone rang. And here it was somebody who had seen a sign about this house, and they said, we want to come over and we're ready to sign a 5-year lease. And he was just blown away by that God answered his prayer that quickly and that immediately. And so that just encouraged him on in this seeking after God. And he's still very much in this experimenting stage. He tries praying to God, but he's also still very much convinced of this law of karma and that he's paying for sins in his past with this eye problem. But he wants to believe that God can heal him, and so we're praying still that God will heal his eye and just demonstrate very powerfully his love and his concern for Sadie. At this point, he says he's still trying to follow two paths, and so you can remember to pray for Sadie. It's a difficult change for him to make, but he has experienced some of God's power and God's love, and it's been very impactful in his life. Relating to him and to our other Thai friends has taught me more about God and has increased my faith in God's ability to bring transformation to all people in all places, no matter what their situation. Even when we can't see it, God can be at work under the surface. And during the first couple of years, we had no idea that he was watching our family, that he was interested at all in what God was doing. As we've seen God work in these small, quiet ways, I think we've been able to identify more closely with something that Jesus said about the kingdom of God, this very short parable of the yeast in Matthew 13. He told them, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." And there are several aspects of this that we've seen in Thailand and that give me great hope for what God can continue to do in the future in Thailand and here. Just very quickly, I'd like to draw out a couple of these observations. One is that a small amount of yeast can work through a large amount of dough. We've already talked about the realities in Thailand, and on one hand, it looks hopeless and it looks discouraging. And we want to see that percentage of Christians grow. But it's not hopeless right now. There's a small amount of yeast there, and it's doing its work. Another thing I've noticed from this is that yeast works in quiet, unobtrusive ways, and it can take a long time. Using yeast, I'm not very experienced with using yeast, but it takes a while. It's not like putting something in the microwave. And that's what we're seeing with the kingdom of God in Thailand. There can be stuff going on slowly that we almost don't notice, but it's God at work. Thailand is Buddhist through and through, and there are plenty of obstacles to the spread of God's kingdom in Thailand. But the kingdom is still present, and it can still grow. Our faith doesn't have to be, it's not a religion that has to be the dominant spiritual force or political force or cultural force in a nation. The kingdom of God can grow in Thailand even though it is a Buddhist nation. Third thing is just that using yeast is a natural process. It's something that just happens. It doesn't depend on the skill of the baker. I mean, as long as the basic conditions are right, the yeast is going to do its job. You don't have to be really, really skillful to use it. And as Candace shared, we're very much aware of our limitations in Thailand. And if it was up to us to learn the language well enough and be able to debate philosophically and convince people that they should believe what we believe, it'd be a complete failure, disaster. But when people encounter the power of the kingdom of God, when they encounter the yeast, then their lives are going to be changed. And we've seen, I think, two primary ways that this happens in Thailand. One is just Christian fellowship. Where the Spirit of God is, or where we are, the Spirit of God is. It's something that Dan has talked about a lot, that just our presence as Christians brings something new into that situation. And we've had Thai friends who have talked about that. They've come to our gatherings, our worship services, and it's not that they were real impacted by the Bible study or by our great singing, because our singing is not that great yet. But they feel something different there, and it's this, the Spirit of God is present, and in our fellowship and the way we relate to each other, there's a warmth there that attracts people. It's different from what they experience elsewhere. So Christian fellowship and then answered prayer. I already talked about Lung Seri, but we're seeing that again and again. People, before they believe in God, before they even before they know much about God at all, they try praying. They pray and God answers that. God respects even their mixed motives, and he's quick to answer their prayers and to show his power to these people. He wants people to seek after him, even if they don't have a complete understanding, even if they're still very confused about who God is. So Christian fellowship and answered prayer. And of course, we believe the Bible is crucial and it plays an important role in a person's spiritual growth, but we're seeing in Thailand that's not what draws people in. People aren't coming to us with intellectual questions about the Bible and wanting to read and find out about that. It's this, the power. It's a personal encounter with Jesus, either through our fellowship or through the answered prayer that's making an impact. Pon is a good example of that. He's a young man who's actually from Laos. He became friends with Dan and then with another one of the interns that came from Latin America, and then eventually began studying the Bible, and he was baptized. And it's been so encouraging to see how he's grown and matured and what he's learning about God. And he's keeping track of his answered prayers, and he told me recently that he thinks that God has answered 95% of his prayers, and he's just so impressed with this. One example was early on, he moved to a new apartment, and after he got there, he found out that the room he had rented, the previous tenant had committed suicide in the room. And for most Thai people, that would be just horrible, because then the ghost of this person is there and can cause, who knows what kind of trouble. And he was afraid of that. But he asked people from our team to come into his room, and they prayed for protection, for God's Spirit to come into that room. And then Pon was able to live there. And he says, that's only because he had God's help. He would not have been able to do that otherwise. He's a good singer. He was in a reality TV singing competition and had a chance to talk on television about how his studying the Bible and believing in God has helped him. Now he's a university student, so has some more opportunities there. Biak is another guy who had some previous exposure to the Bible and to Christianity, but he wasn't really interested. But then he had a problem with his leg, and so he said, if God heals my leg, I'll believe. And God healed his leg. And so now Pon and Biak and I have been meeting weekly for a Bible study, and that's probably of our whole three years there, that's probably been the highlight for me. It just started within the past few months. But studying the Bible with these guys, praying with them, and seeing how they're growing and the way their faith is developing. They wanted to study the life of David. This is Pon's idea. And so we began reading through the story of David, and came to David and Goliath. And this was the first time they'd ever heard this story, the first time they'd ever read it. And it was just so exciting. It was just really exciting for me to be a part of that. And to see these guys talking about the scripture in Thai and their ideas of what it means, and It's been just so encouraging in the last few months to see how that's developing. So yeast working in the dough, the kingdom of God working in whatever culture, it's a natural process. It's not something that we force. It's not something that we manufacture. And we don't know what the finished product is going to look like. This is an example of Thai bread. It doesn't look like American bread. And we don't want what comes out of our work in Thailand to look like an American church. We want it to look like Thai believers, whatever form that's going to take. Jesus said the kingdom is like yeast in dough, and I think we understand that we are that yeast. And as I see it, there are only two conditions that need to be met for the yeast to do its work. It has to be good yeast, and it has to be mixed in with the dough. And so for us, we have to be real Christians, we have to be alive, we have to have a relationship with God, and we have to be mixed in with the dough, with the people who don't believe in Jesus around us. And for many of us, I think that second condition is where we struggle. And in that sense, moving to Thailand has made it much easier for me to follow Jesus' teaching in this area. It's forced me into dough that doesn't have much yeast. When I was here, I worked in the mission office at RMM. I was on the leadership team here at this church, and I related to Christians. I found it very hard to find the time or the motivation to get out of that circle and to relate in natural ways to people who didn't know Jesus yet. But that's what we're supposed to do as the yeast, is to mix with the dough. And we don't want to push this analogy too far, but I think at the very least we should consider that if we look at the world, the yeast, the presence of the kingdom of God, is not yet very evenly distributed. And so I feel like God led us to Thailand, and we'd love to see some more of you join us there. But like Rob said, we're all called to somewhere, and there's yeast, there's dough all around us. There are people who don't know Jesus all around us. Look at this congregation, and I think of a yeast packet or whatever yeast comes in, you know. And the dough is out there, and this is very good. It's so good for us to come back and be able to worship with you like this. But just to challenge you and encourage you to remember that this isn't all there is to following Jesus. It's not just what happens in here. And I don't think we can expect much dough to come into the church on its own. We shouldn't expect people who don't know Jesus to just show up here and be discipled or learn about God that way. It's our initiative, it's our responsibility as we're out in the world to be that yeast. And I think being in Thailand has made me more confident that if we're faithful in doing that, then we're going to see results. It might be very slow, it might be something we can't notice for a long time, but if we're faithful, God is going to do his work, and we will see stuff happening. And it's been our privilege to see that in Thailand in the last several years. Again, we want to thank you as a congregation. Thank you on behalf of RMM for your generous missions giving. We're grateful for the support that you give us financially. You've been very generous as a church, and many of you as individuals, with the way that you've supported us every month over the past 3 years. And we're humbled by that and very grateful for it. Candace mentioned the other ways that you've supported us and our kids. It would have been much more difficult to go to Thailand and live there for 3 years without having you guys here supporting us. And so I hope that in some way you can feel like you're a part of that, because you really are. You sent us. We're representing you in Thailand. And so LCF has a stake in what's happening, what God's doing there in Thailand. Just in closing, I put these prayer requests up there, and we'll try to keep sharing prayer requests with you as we go back, ways that you can be remembering us and people that we're working with. We put new prayer cards in all of the mailboxes in the back. For those of you who don't have mailboxes, we also have some extra ones. We'll try to put those in the back or see us, and we'll make sure that you get one. And again, thanks for sharing your time with us this morning. Sorry we went a little long, but we'll miss you over the next couple of months. We're traveling to Virginia and then to Delaware. We'll be back here the first Sunday in January for one more service right before we fly back to Thailand, planning to be there for 2 more years, and then we'll see what God leads us to do after that. Thanks.